One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. With me, as always, Dave Callens.
What's up?
And Robert Timothy.
How you doing?
I'm okay. I real quick, I want to do this on air. I don't know if this happens to you. Actually, I know it does. On Facebook, you ever get tagged along with 98 other people?
Oh, God, those are the worst. If it's that many people, it's something that you don't give a shit about.
Yeah,
yeah, it's definitely nothing to do with you.
And you'll get a nice reminder every time somebody writes fucking anything on that comment.
Yeah, it's always solicitation. This time was no different. This time, it's a guy I didn't know existed. He's never bothered to like or comment on any of my fucking jokes. I post three times a day. But it's about how I can help his new short film project and where I can go right. To support.
I hope you offered him advertising space like you did with the last guy trying to pitch you something.
I'm actually going to comment right now. Well, I'm going to do it right here on air. Hold on, let me pull it up here. So this guy's Chow Van Trong. All right. I'm going to put...
You sure you're not ordering lunch from a Chinese place?
Thank you so much for...
Hold on, stop.
Tagging me, parentheses, and 98 other people in a post informing me how I can help you. As you may know, I am always looking for ways to support people who I didn't know existed until they fucking needed something. There we go.
He's going to think that's sincere, so wasted effort. But yeah, that happens to me. That's just... It's so annoying because these, like you said, these are people you have no contact with. You probably barely know them, but they think just for some reason, like they never support you. They never come to your shows. They never ask when your shows are. But All of a sudden when it's their project, like, hey, come help me out, you guys. You're going to be so excited to help me.
Yeah. And you know, there's so many musicians, filmmakers, artists, other comics that I know that do support me and, you know, buy shirts and come to shows. And I could repay the favor by in turn supporting their art, but fuck them. I want the guy that I didn't know existed.
Well, and the other annoying thing is that it gets you kind of excited because you hear that ding if you're part of a message or a group and you think to yourself, oh, sweet, there's something interesting here. Like, for instance, we all have, along with a bunch of other comedians who love MMA, we have a little MMA subgroup that we post in if some new news comes up and we chat MMA stuff. And those are really fun conversations that I enjoy being a part of. So I'll get a notice, hey, you've been tagging this, and I think it's about something like that, and I pull up my phone super excited, and then it's like, oh, hey, how would you like to check out my Etsy store?
Yeah, fuck your Etsy store.
It's a little bit adorable that Bobby still gets excited by notifications.
That's true. Oh, my God, they like me.
So anyway, last night, Friday, let me preface this. I've spent the last year getting in really good shape. I had a project coming up that required me to be bigger, and it's for this Misfits show I'm doing. The character I play is like the buffest one. So I spent a year getting probably the best shape I've been in since my amateur fighting days.
Wow.
Only it's better because back then you had to cut weight. Yep. I had to fight a class. So back then I walked around at 178 and fought at 155. Mm-hmm. Now, since I'm not fighting for anything, I just can work out and get in shape. I'm at 220 and just keep turning every pancake and piece of chicken into more mass.
Yeah.
It's great. I've never got to do that in my life before. But the problem is over the last 5 weeks, I've just let it go to shit. And the thing is, different from when you're a more trim guy that's in shape versus a guy trying to cultivate mass is you go to shit a lot faster.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, all that mass just turns into blubber real fucking quick.
I've known some guys who are like, you know, roughly your size. Like, I'm a really skinny guy, so I'm never able to put mass on. But I understand what you're saying because I have friends who are like, bigger like that, they could get in really good shape, but they don't want to because, like, once you start, you have to keep at it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's different from when I was in shape 10 years ago fighting, you know? So the thing is, that makes it harder to go back to the gym because now it feels like I'm carrying around a tire and a medicine ball.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. So last night, I'm fucking like, all right, got to get back into the gym tonight. I had a full day, but when I got home, there was nothing. I just got a kegerator that I really wanted to pour beers out of. I'm like, I wanted to hug my dogs. I'm like, no, no, no. get to the gym, then you can enjoy your night. We got to get this ball back rolling again. You know, it's all about that first time, you right. know? So I toughed through it. I put on my gym clothes. I stretched. I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm really doing it. And I jumped on the freeway, and there had just been a fucking shooting on the freeway. I was stuck in traffic for 2.5 hours to go a mile from my house. And I couldn't just get off. I was just trapped in Carmageddon. Yeah. And I just sit there. And so the whole time, I'm getting hungrier and hungrier because I'd have a full day. I haven't eaten. I'm drinking the jug of water I brought with me. By the time I got to the gym, my phone had died. I forgot to bring the chargers, so I have no music to listen to. I have drank all my water, and I did like one exercise. I was so weak from not eating. So smash cut to me in Denny's and workout clothes that have not been soiled. To everyone else in Denny's, it looked like I had put on workout clothes to go eat Denny's.
Like you're a competitive eater. Yeah. You're Kobayashi. You've got there. You're
like
see
I
how many...
stretched. I, you know,
I'm coming to you, Joey Chestnut.
Yeah. I give myself a little pep talk, like country fried steak. They make it big there. I want it all down the hatch, man. So my question is, has the universe ever fucked you for making the right decision?
I'm going to answer that by saying I feel like that's just an ongoing thing in my life. Like, that's just a constant.
Yeah.
I've had a few of them. I've had a few that are different levels. Like one is just like you make the right responsible choice. Kind of like you said, going to the gym. Like I had one where I had a buddy call me up a while ago when I was doing work and I was out in the desert. I had no need for money at that point. You know, I had no time to spend it. I was working 7 days a week and I had a guy from college call me up and he's like, hey, give me 10K. I'm a hedge fund manager. Give me 10K. I've got this great new investment. You're going to love it. And I was like, dude, that's a lot of money.
Right.
I could have spent it because I was out in the desert. I didn't need that money. I had it in a savings account, but I was like, that's pretty much all my money that I have liquid right now. That would be a pretty big deal. That's not fiscally responsible. I decided not to do it. And at the time, he was a hedge fund manager who was specializing in Bitcoin. And he was buying it around 10 cents. So anyway, my investment would be around $70 million today. Literally. And so like those ones you get screwed because you're making a wise fiscal choice. But the ones I think are really egregious, the ones that really bite me, are the ones where you're not just making a good, like, responsible choice, going to the gym, being fiscally sound. It's where you're actually trying to help somebody. You're trying to do the right thing and helping somebody. So when I was a teenager, I was broke. I didn't have a lot of money.
No
Bitcoin at all. I bought my first car when I was 15, and I had loved cars before. I had learned to start working on cars. I bought my first car when I was 15, started, it was not running, spent my spring break trying to fix it up in the garage, got it fixed up, and then periodically had to do it every other weekend. But I became the poor man's AAA. So all of my friends who were broke and didn't have AAA because their parents wouldn't pay for it, when their car broke down, they called me.
Right.
Bobby,
right.
I'm on the side of the road. Can you come get me? Sure, fine. I would go and see what I couldn't do. Bobby, my car broke down. My starter's not working. Can you help me out? Sure, fine. And that's what I did all the time. So I was doing this for one.
So you were just a doormat, though.
Yeah,
that's
basically. So I was doing.
Hey, you make it sound like it's a bad thing, George. Come on.
I had this one friend whose car. They're like, oh, it won't start anymore. Can you come figure out what's wrong? And she's like, oh yeah, we went and got a new battery and it's still not working. And I went in there and it took me about 10 minutes to be like, okay, the starter's blown on this car. Let's go to the junkyard. We can grab a starter for $30. I can throw it in. We'll have this car running by the end of the day. She says, yeah, sure, totally. Let's do it. I go by myself to the junkyard, rip a starter out of a car by myself. This is all for no pay. Come on back, put the new starter in the car all by myself. She drives it off.
Like, it never blew me. It's fucking bullshit.
3 days later, I get a phone call from this person, and she goes, my dad wants to talk to you. And I was like, okay. And they pick up the phone, and her dad is livid. He's like screaming at me, what the fuck did you do to this car? Blah, 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 blah. We just had it serviced the whole nine yards. And I was like, I just put a new starter in, bro. Like, it was broke. I don't know what you want from
me. You're welcome.
Yeah. And it turns out what had happened is when the car first didn't run, when it first didn't start, in their genius car diagnosis, they decided, oh, it probably needs an oil change. That's why it's not starting. It needs an oil change, which everybody who knows anything about
totally
cars is laughing hysterically right now. They didn't tell me about this, but they did a quote-unquote oil change. Now, the car in question was 2.0-liter V6 engine. That's the number of the displacement. That 2.0 means the displacement. It's how big the cylinders are.
Put a snore noise in the podcast.
But in their mind, that was how many liters of oil needed to go in instead of 5 liters of oil. So they had put 2 liters of oil in. Again, I had no idea all this had gone on.
So they ran it dry?
I replaced the starter. Not only did they do that, but I guess they didn't tighten the drain plug enough, so they leaked out even that 2 liters.
They also lit the car on fire.
Yeah.
Pushed it off the cliff.
So the engine blew up.
And I keyed my own door. I don't understand cars.
Yeah, and her dad's first reaction is, it's that asshole who put the starter in. He broke the car somehow. He called up fuming, yelling. I was like, I don't know what to tell you. Let me come over and see it. Again, this is pre-cell phones. I hang up the car. I leave to go to their house to work on it. While I'm gone, that dad then calls the house again and talks to my parents and says, just so you know, your son destroyed our car. I want $3,000. And I get there. I'm working on the car. Again, I still don't know this has happened because there's pre-cell phones. I look at the car and I'm like, yeah, this has nothing to do with the starter. Your engine's clearly blown. I mean, the distributor's popped off and clearly you've blown the engine. I don't know what to tell you. It has nothing to do with the starter. He's screaming at me in person. I go home thinking like, oh man, this is a horrible night. How shitty is this for doing something good? I get home and now my parents are screaming at me because he has asked them for $3,000. Eventually what happened is they took it to a mechanic. The mechanic's like, yeah, there's no oil in here. What happened? No apology.
No, no, never.
Nothing. The daughter felt bad about it. At school, she was like, I'm so sorry. I know you were trying to help me. My dad is just like that. I'm so sorry. No apology from the dad. Never called up my parents. For the next 2 months, my parents still thought I was lying about it and were waiting for a $3,000.
Oh, fuck, man. That just hurts.
Yeah.
What an asshole. Jesus.
Two come to mind for me. One, we had, I'll do short-term and long-term, is... So about 6 years ago, maybe more, I was dating this girl and I was just not happy with it. I did not dig her at all. But there was this girl that I worked with at my office who, I just dug the shit out of her. She was hot. She was cool. And, anyway, we'd always kind of just flirt. And then there was a work event and we were both at it. And then we ended up at a bar near my house. And afterwards, nothing had happened, but we were at my house, me and her. And I was and like, nothing had gone down. And I had this crazy attack of conscience. And I was like, yo, listen, I'm not being straight up with you. I have a girlfriend. It's probably not good that you're here alone with me. And she's like, you have a girlfriend? You never mentioned that. Why do you think I'm here? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. You know, I can't do this. And she left upset. And a few days later, I had another attack of conscience and I came clean to my girlfriend. I'm like, look, there's this girl that I worked with and I'm going to be honest, I found her attractive and I kept telling myself that, you know, everything was platonic and I didn't have any motivations, but deep down I know that I kind of did and I invited her back to the house when you weren't there. We didn't live together. I had my own place. I'm like, but nothing happened and I asked her to leave and, you know, but I figured I should at least tell you this. I mean, I did something fundamentally wrong and I'm sorry. And she never let me hear the end of it. She guilted me. And that's fine. She had every right to do that. But later on, I found out that girlfriend was fucking another guy that night. That night.
How dare you flirt with somebody while I'm fucking that guy.
And I didn't find out until a year later, like a, I don't know, 6 months later we broke up. But she, not only she's been fucking guys like the entire time, but that night. And then I went back to that girl. I'm like, hey, I know we got off on the bad foot, but I'm single now. And she's like, fuck you, guy. Yeah. You didn't tell me you had a girlfriend last time. Don't ever talk to me again. I'm like,
And see, the reason that's shitty is because I have this philosophy in life, which is that everybody fucks up, and it's how you handle your fuck-ups that dictate the type of person you are. You fucked up, you brought that girl over, it was a little shady. It wasn't horrible, it was just a little shady, but then you owned up to it, to her.
Yeah.
That takes a man to step up. Then you double owned up to it by telling your girlfriend. That takes a man to step up. And in the sense, like, you got screwed by doing that. If you would have just lied, you would have been much better off, even though you hadn't done something that wrong. It was wrong. True. Yeah. It wasn't that wrong.
Bobby, in case you missed the intro, that's kind of what we're doing here.
I've had girlfriends before who have told me like, oh, hey, I was doing this thing and this guy totally hit on me and he came after, this guy came up to my hotel room, all this stuff. And to be honest, it makes me feel more secure in my relationship because I'm like, well, if something had happened or if they were doing something wrong or they had bad intentions, they wouldn't be telling you this right now.
Oh, but if you're our girlfriends and wives, oh, maybe you're just saying that just to cover your tracks. Now, this one's more long-term and just I relive it in my mind all the time because it's just a toll. My life would be different. I grew up in the wave of when home game consoles were just starting to come out. Mm-hmm. You know, Nintendo, Sega. I never had a game console right when it came out. It was always like, all right, if Nintendo came out, Sega was going to come out before I was getting a Nintendo. Yeah, you know, right. So like that's the way it worked, and I still live my life like that to this day.
Yep.
I have a PS3. I didn't get it till PS4 came out.
Right.
So anyways, my dad would always very much admonish me about video games. You know, and to his credit, everything he's said makes sense. He's like, do not waste all your time with video games, you know?
That's a good lesson.
Yeah, my friends down the street, they would play video games all the time. From the time they got home from school until they had to go to bed all weekend, they'd be like, do not be like these losers. These guys are going to grow up losers. You need to study. Those guys are going to play video games. They have no real-world value, and they're going to grow up with nothing. You're going to go to college, all right? Trust me, when your 20s and 30s roll around, you see how they turned out, you're gonna be thanking me. Those guys are game developers for fucking Microsoft now, both of them. But do you know what I see them posting on their fucking Facebook pages? Boats. They own boats, not small boats. Big boats.
No, he's still right for the majority
right,
of people.
No, you just were in a fluke situation. Because right. That'd be like if your dad was like, don't play football. It's not going to go anywhere. Yeah. And your neighbors happen to get NFL contracts right. When they're adults. Like, oh, I could have been in the NFL. No,
you would have been a high school burnout who couldn't make it into community college.
Still. I mean,
don't play scratchers. You're never going to get the jackpot. But, oh, my neighbor won the jackpot.
By the way,
I
like how Ryan has determined that the variable is just how much video games he played. Like, it wasn't like they got into game developing and computer design and stuff. He's just like, they played more video games. That was it.
Fuck you guys. Fuck you guys. You're laughing because it's not you. You're laughing because it's not you. So anyway, me and Dave had a gig in Phoenix last week.
Did we ever?
Yeah. First of all, quick shout out to Phoenix. Thank you to the people that showed up for actually showing up. And, you know, it was a big crowd for such a small place. And the reason I got to thank you for that is, and I've said this on the show before, I can't tell you how many times that people in other states or cities have said, like, dude, when are you coming to my town, dude? Right. I'd love this fucking city. Dude, if you come to my show, I'll fucking bring all my friends.
Right.
And, like, you know, I booked the ticket. Pittsburgh was the first time this fucking happened. Pittsburgh. Huh. Not fucking L.A., not Nevada. Pittsburgh. Like, literally, there was about 7 or 8 people hitting me up, like, when are you coming to Pittsburgh, dude? We'd love to see it. All saying they'd each bring, you know, a big group of friends. I'm like, dude, if even half those numbers show up, like, and I work out a door deal, like, I'm going to be sitting okay.
Oh, naive young Ryan.
Yeah, right. Yeah, then you posted it in, like, oh, man, that's the night I got to walk my dog at the park.
Yeah, man. Dude. And, like,
you would have been better off playing video games.
to be fair, yeah. When I was flying to Pittsburgh, those video game kids were banging a supermodel in their mansion. So, anyways, you know, after I show up and I realize there's empty seats and I'm going to be going home less whatever I paid for a plane ticket in the hotel room. Like, the next day you'll get that super infuriating, like, dude, when's the next one? Not going to be a next one, you fucking dick.
Yeah.
People are always asking, why are you so hesitant to tour? Yeah. Well, because no one ever fucking shows up. But Phoenix, like, I'm going to say 90% of the people that said they're going to show up showed up, and it was really cool. And But the hotel we stayed in,
oof.
Dave, do you want to take a turn on what that was like?
Well, just here's a little piece of information I just got last night from a friend of mine. I've been through Phoenix.
Yeah.
Never really been there to hang out.
Yeah.
So I was telling my friend, like, yeah, we just did a gig in Phoenix. The place we stayed was apparently the bad part of town. My friend's like, oh, it's all a bad part of town in Phoenix.
Oh, really?
I was like, okay. But this was particularly bad. Like, it was, just to give you a frame of reference, it was behind the Waffle House.
Yeah, it was behind it.
And as soon as we pulled into the hotel, 4 p.m. maybe, 5 p.m.,
uh-huh.
Like, still daylight, everything's solid.
Right.
A handful of tweakers just walking around.
They're milling around like...
You can tell.
It's like the first level of a first-person zombie shooter game where there's only like 5 or 6 zombies in the parking lot. Like, all right, I can take these
out. I want to know how tweakers survive in Phoenix because it gets fucking hot in the summer. Like, how do they live through the summer months without AC?
It's less expensive. so anyways, the best part about it is we get... and by the way... when you're fucking doing road gigs, you get the cheapest one possible because you're not going to be there very much. You just need a place to sleep and lock your bags in. And, you know, you want to keep as much as the gig is paying you. Mm-hmm. So you get the shittiest one.
That was the best part. When we showed up, we went to the front desk to check in.
Yeah.
And the chick is like, okay, here's the room key.
Yeah, she gives us the room key and she says these words. So everyone has different standards. And I knew we were fucked right there. Everyone has different standards. So here's the room key. Before I run your credit card, go in the room and make sure you really want to sleep there.
Wow.
Because once I run your card, we're not giving you a refund.
Wow. You know that's big because they've clearly had this issue
before. Oh, yeah.
She did say, first of all, she said it as if no big deal. Like, she wasn't even apologizing. Like, she'd been through this so many times.
Yeah.
It was just standard routine. But she did say that the hotel is undergoing, quote, renovation.
Yes. What that means is a lot of shit's broken and we don't know when we're going to fix it.
As we walked down to our place, the room right before ours didn't have a door. It had a sheet of plywood nailed into where the door would be.
Would be. So something went down there.
So what you're saying is you guys could have gotten a cheaper room.
That's why I told her, I'm like, dude, let's ask if we can have this one.
So I'm like,
every time you leave, you just have a hammer and nails.
I'm like, no, Dave, you're going to want a locking door here. And the thing is, I've lived at a tweaker motel that was very similar to this one.
Yeah.
So, like, I know some of the rules. And, as we were coming in, there's, like, this tweaker in, like, some sort of pink running suit that was, like, she had on backwards. And she was, like, walking up to us. I'm like, all right, see that? Don't make eye contact. So we get in our room, like, minutes before, like, she comes to say something. It was like that scene in Jaws 2 where they're trying to pull the girl up on the boat as the shark's swimming closer and it just barely misses her feet. So, anyways.
Now we're in the room and we're just relaxing for the gig. We're watching TV and I'm sitting on the bed. Ryan's just standing up, getting his shit in order and watching Cops, of course, because what else would you watch in this situation?
And I'm like, oh, shit, look at the window.
There's a knock on the door. Ryan and I look at each other. I just begin to move to get up.
And I go, don't answer that. He goes, what if they keep knocking? I'm like, first of all, first rule of Tweaker Hotel, they will not keep knocking. They're going to each door to see if someone's stupid enough to answer it. Number two, if they do keep knocking, yell that you have a shotgun to the door. And Dave, I don't think you realized you did this, but like later that night when we were sleeping, Dave's a sound fucking sleeper. There's another knock at the door like at fucking 4 a.m. and I like popped up in bed and fucking Dave in the middle of his sleep goes, I have a shotgun to the door. The fucking knocking stopped.
Hey, I learn, all right? I learn and I retain that information.
It'd be great if the knocking on the door and then Ryan actually answered it and it was a tweaker who was trying to pitch you something and you're like, let me ask you something. How are you doing for advertising?
Yeah. He's like, I've already put a knife in your belly four times. You didn't notice?
No, the tweakers start to get smart. Like, I have a shotgun. They're like, how are you doing on ammo? So now, as far as the gig itself, it was so much fun. It was a blast. Bar shows are hit or miss. This was definitely good because the room, it was a separate room.
Yes.
Which is huge. That's so much better. But we had fun, but it was like a checklist of all the shit that could go wrong. Like, first of all, the show is booked a little long.
Yeah.
When you're just on the show, not a big deal. But I'm the feature. Ryan's the headliner. We don't want the crowd to be exhausted by the time we go on.
Right.
So the show's booked a little long. The host literally said to me, oh, don't worry. I don't do comedy. I'm just the host. I'll get out of the way. And then he told me how much time everybody's doing. And then so the show starts. He starts doing time up front. I'm like, God damn it. I hadn't accounted for it. I'm trying to calculate in my head.
Yeah.
How long is this going to go? How much time should I do before Shores goes on?
Yeah.
So the host is doing time. First comic goes up. Horrible comic.
Oh.
Horrible comic. And now
Phoenix, you got to step your game up on your fucking local comedy scene.
He runs the light. So the whole time, I'm like, fuck, the show's going to go long. This is going to suck.
The only thing that makes a horrible comic worse is a horrible comic that's up there too long.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now the host goes back up, does a little more material. Also starts selling tickets to another show at a different venue next week.
And let me show you how he attempts to sell tickets in the middle of a show during his hosting segments on a show that's already going very long because he's doing it in between each one.
Right.
Here's what he finally resorted to. All right, people. Oh, and keep this in mind. You're trying to sell tickets to people that are already at a comedy show.
Yeah, right.
That's like trying to sell a steak to a guy who's like finishing up his fucking meal. Like, I'm good.
Especially it's a shitty steak.
Right. The steak he's eating now sucks.
Yeah.
No, but try this one.
Yeah. So anyways, this is what he finally resorts to. All right, y'all. Still got some tickets for the comedy show in 2 weeks that I am selling at a discounted rate. I'm not going to leave until someone buys one.
Wow, he went terrorist on that thing.
I'm not. I'm going to stay up here until someone buys one.
Wow.
And so, literally, no one's budging. So it was like this Mexican standoff. And I'm like, God, bring up the next guy.
So now, also, keep in mind, the host, he's got it. He's also doing the sound at a sound booth right next to the stage. So
how does he do it when he's on stage?
He just cues the music to whatever. But the biggest problem with this is if Ryan timer. Or I need something, we have to walk to the front of the room and basically interrupt the show to get this guy's attention.
Wow. Yeah.
So now second comic goes up. She's worse than the first guy.
Like, I've never seen...
She barely has premises.
What was one of her things? She goes...
She just kept telling everyone she's a vegan.
Here's one of her jokes. I'm sorry, whatever your name is. I can't credit you for this genius bit. Here is one of her jokes. Stop me if I'm lying. So I'm vegan, but I still trick or treat. She's 32 years old, so
right.
It doesn't explain that why right. She's been. Anyway, I still trick or treat even though I'm vegan. But you know what I like to do because I'm vegan? I go to houses and they put the candy in my bag, and then I look at it, and if it's chocolate and it says it's been made with a milk product, I knock on the door again and I go, "What the fuck is this?"
Notice I didn't stop him when he said, "Stop me if I'm lying."
Yep. Wow. That was the bit.
That was one
wow.
of her bits.
Yeah.
Ryan, that's actually, not even you probably made it a little better, honestly.
Yeah. That's not even like a funny thing you say to somebody in passing, much less a polished stand-up bit.
No. So now, third guy goes up. He's not horrible. So now, one of the guys, when he was showing me the lineup, there was a guy like in the middle. These guys are all supposed to do like 7 minutes, 10 minutes, 7 minutes. There was a guy in the middle. He was called Wolf.
The Wolf.
The Wolf. The Wolf. I think. So the host is telling me, he's like, oh.
It's in case John Travolta kills a guy in the back of a
Honda. It was Harvey Keitel in a rented tux.
Yeah.
He tells me, oh, this guy, he's a special guest, so he's going to do 15 instead of 7. Okay, whatever.
And right when I saw him go up with a guitar, I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, no. So Shores and I talked to him. He seemed like a normal guy, middle-aged, white dude, whatever. Before he goes on stage, he puts on a fedora, grabs a guitar, goes on stage, immediately takes the fedora off, and hangs it on the mic stand.
He just put on the fedora to wear it on stage for literally. 1.2 seconds.
Wow. So now Shores has had enough of this. He's outside drinking. I'm just watching this train wreck. I'm still like, what the fuck is going on? This guy gets 12 minutes into a set, hasn't even acknowledged the guitar yet.
Yeah.
And he's doing like hacky-ish comedy. Not bad, serviceable.
Yeah.
But not great, not good.
Garden variety.
So now I run out to Shores. I'm like, dude, Shores, this guy's almost done. He hasn't even touched the guitar. If he finishes without using the guitar, he's going to be my favorite comic guy. Because we've all joked about that. Take a guitar on stage and don't use it.
Yeah.
So he goes, I go back inside. Sure enough, he wraps his set. Thank you guys very much. Let's get the host back up. And music starts. Host walks up. Guy, oh, wait a second. I forgot my song.
Oh!
Which is like the record skip at a party.
Oh.
So the host goes back down, stops me. He picks up the guitar. He doesn't even do a full song. It's like a 90-second, just like a couple verses. And then he leaves.
So now
the host comes up, sells some more tickets, but then...
No, he does not. He tries to sell some more tickets.
But then, as if not enough fucked up things have happened to make this show a mess, he says, hey guys, my boy is here in town. He showed up. I'm going to have him take over hosting. We're going to change hosts for the show.
Yeah, they just changed hosts midway. And by the way, I was fine with it.
I guess it can't be worse.
So this guy walks up. He looked like Sinbad, a little smaller, but he proceeds to do 9 minutes.
Oh.
As his host intro set.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, this is all going on. Now, at this point, for those of you that don't know, an ideal comedy show is 90 minutes long.
By the time I got on stage, 95 minutes.
Yeah. And there's still, and I'm doing a half an hour or more.
I was supposed to do 15. I'm like, no, Shores is tired. I'm tired. This audience is tired.
Yeah.
So I told the guy, the new host, I'm like, hey, light me at 8. Really? Yeah, I'm only going to do 10 minutes. Light me at 8. Okay.
Yeah.
So I go on stage. I'm doing fairly well. I mean, the crowd's good at least.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm having fun.
Yeah.
But I get to a point in my head where I'm like, oh, this is way past 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, this guy doesn't give a shit. So I close myself. I'm like, okay, you guys, I'm going to get out of here.
You look over the guys playing solitaire.
So the host comes running from the back. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So now Shores goes on stage while these people have sat through
2 hours.
Almost 2 hours of
comedy. Yeah. And now I have to do 30 minutes on top of the 2 hours they've been sitting there.
Nice.
And the show started a half an hour late. So, anyways, as I start my bit, people that didn't come to see me specifically are leaving right in front of the stage.
Yeah. They were sitting right up front.
Yeah, and they're just leaving like in the middle of my punchline, you know. So anyway, it did turn out okay. It did turn out okay.
We had fun.
But one thing I did have to say is during this whole thing, the green room they gave us is facing the stage from the back of the room. So we can see the whole show from the back. There's a little door separating this green room that also leads to a smoking patio. This whole time, this local guy is in there with us. He's the only guy in there like chilling with us. And the whole time he's talking shit with us, you know? Well, that's fine. That's fine. He's like, but he keeps like, not only talking shit, but humble bragging towards himself a little bit. He's like, man, all these guys out here suck. All this hacky shit. It should have just been the three of us guys. I'm like, do I know you?
I honestly, when he didn't start talking shit until he heard us do it.
Yeah.
And I honestly didn't know he was a comic. I thought he was just like a regular at the bar or something. Because the first thing he said, like after I'm talking shit, he says the host walks by, and so now he feels comfortable, like he can talk shit too, because he heard us do it to ourselves, not to the host. But he says to the host, because he knows the guy's like, hey man, where's all the good comics? Why don't you book anybody good on this show?
Yeah. So like, so he keeps talking shit. He's like, man, should have been the three of us, man. That would have been a great show. I guess maybe he knows us, but I don't know. But he's like, yeah, the three of us would have been the killer's line. I'm like, yeah, I thought about you the whole time I was driving up here. But he's like, yeah, man, they begged me to do this show. I don't even do Phoenix gigs anymore, but like they really needed a solid guy on this. And fuck, I can't. Sorry, this is your first impression of Phoenix, guys. I hope you guys come back, you know? Like, he's the mayor of Phoenix.
Now, when he went on stage, his material was basically, it was like, I don't even know if I would call it serviceable.
It was just, here's all the jokes like, so I'm a fat guy. I'm fat, right? And my friend's like, you want to go on a fun run? And I was like, are you kidding? Pause for laughs. Yeah, and then, so anyways, my friend was like, do you want to go to a buffet? I'm like, are you kidding? I'm fat. Pause for laughs. I'm like, this is the guy that was talking all that shit?
Now, to his credit, based on the lineup we saw,
he
kind of had a point.
Yeah, okay.
It is funny, though, how those shows can change on you when time goes too long. So I told you guys last week about how the Kumite has been up and down in terms of audience members and stuff like that. Last week, right after we recorded, I went and we did the next Kumite. It was great. Like, there was a whole bunch of people that showed up. A bunch of comics showed up. But there's a few problems. One is we let the comics go a little bit too long, and they lost the room. And I, as the host, lost the room, too, so it's my fault as well. But one of the things happened where a regular at the bar was like, I've always wanted to try stand-up comedy.
Oh, God.
And it's an open mic, so that's fine. That's allowed, right? So, you know, she signed up just like everybody else. She gets her time. Damien had set the lineup.
But the difference is, can I just interject? Yeah. The difference is, of course, people are going to try their first time on stage at an open mic. Yes, that's fine. But people usually come with like
preparation,
yes, some notes. It's not just someone getting wasted and going, oh, fuck yeah.
No. She did have some prep. She had some notes and stuff ready.
Forgive me then.
So Damien set the lineup, and he purposely put her between two really good people so that way, you know, the crowd is more up for it and stuff like that. And I go up and I let everybody know the lineup, and I told her, okay, you're going up here. And she goes, oh, no, I can't go yet. I don't know my stuff. And she's feverishly looking through her iPhone. And I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, put me on last. And I was like,
oh, God.
I don't know how to tell you this, but this is an unruly bar crowd. By the end of the show, we like to cap it off with somebody really good, because by the end of the show, they're super unruly.
She's like, oh, I'll be good by then.
Yeah. And I was like, so it's going to be much easier if you do it now. And the crowd is actually quite good. In the beginning, the crowd is quite good. And I was like, it'll be much easier. And she's like, no, I'm not ready. And I'm like, all right. And so,
you know better.
Sure enough, first five comics have an excellent crowd. The crowd is fantastic. It's big. It's fun. Everybody's having a good time. Starts to get a little bit unhinged as we have more comics who are a little bit less experienced go up for too much time. And then by the end, it's a fucking melee. Like, people are just yelling and talking and carrying on these big conversations and stuff. And she goes up there. Seriously, there's not a single person looking at the stage when she goes up. Everybody's just kind of talking. They're having loud conversations. You can hear people get louder as she's talking to compensate.
Try and talk over her.
In their regular conversations. And I was like, why don't people listen? Why? Yeah. Why?
See, that was your first mistake, is when she said, I'm not ready, I'd be like, okay, then next week, come back.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I didn't want to, because she's a bar regular and we're doing it at that bar.
She'll be there next week.
Cool. Yeah.
And I was like, but I wish people would sometimes you just need to get out of your own fucking way and listen to somebody who knows it a little bit better. Because if she had half of her jokes and had them half as good as she would at the end, she would have done 10 times better as a third spot.
I don't know if you talked to her after, but here's what I wonder. I imagine her reaction in her head was one of two things. First would be like, oh man, that was so great. Just because she went up and did it. Right. And she just doesn't even realize. Or the other reaction I imagine would be like, Oh, man, that would have gone great if those other comics hadn't fucked up the room.
It was deer in the headlights, man. I saw her, and that was, I mean, think of when you're early on, and it's really, you're sketchy, and you're not used to being up there and everything, and then imagine it's just a melee, and nobody's listening. Like, it was tough for me to go up in between comics and get enough attention to get the next person up, much less do a set, and... Oh man, I think I've scared her away from comedy for the rest of her life.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, you did a service to us all. She would have been somewhere in Phoenix telling vegan jokes in 2 years.
Dude, speaking of service, Ryan, I proudly had a little bit of Craigslist vigilante justice this week.
Oh yes, I'm up for it. What happened?
We've talked before about one of the horrors of Craigslist, and it's getting worse and worse. Craigslist used to be this insular community where people would get together and actually do the stuff they're saying they would do, but it's become so common now that assholes use it, and they don't do it correctly, and they screw you over. And one of the things they do is they'll tell you they're going to show up to look at something or do something.
Like...
And they don't. Ryan, you famously had the one where somebody was coming to get a truck cover and got lost in Mexico.
Yeah, and said, sorry, I was on a boat in Mexico after like 15 minutes earlier saying I'm on my way.
So I'm selling my wife's car, and I had it posted online. I went and cleaned it up, got it all ready to go.
The Mini Cooper?
Yeah, Cooper S, 6-speed manual, supercharged in case anybody...
Don't plug on the show.
Panoramic
That'll
sunroof.
That'll be $40, please.
Panoramic sunroof, it's beautiful. So I'm selling it, and I had... organized everybody to come on a certain day. You know, I had a bunch of people who were interested. Okay, everybody's going to come on Wednesday. I've got this all planned out.
I rented a big inflatable gorilla to go on top of my house.
Balloons
like a
everywhere.
Giant chart graph on the wall of like who's going to be there when.
Yeah.
Wearing a suit. I got hot dogs on the grill.
You have a sales team.
I got my mother-in-law to watch the kid. I got everything planned for this one day. I get a guy who calls me the day before and he goes, hey, is the car still for sale? Yeah, it is. I'd really like to come see it. Okay, I got a bunch of people coming tomorrow. No. I want to be the first to see it. Can I come see it today? And I'm like, I'm sorry. It'd just be much easier tomorrow. I've got my son I got to worry about. I got to get all this other stuff done. It's just not really applicable. It just wouldn't work. He's like, please, I'm very, very serious. I will probably buy it from you today. Just let me come. Can you do 1:30 today? And I was like, that's super hard, dude. I'm going to have to run home from work. I'm going to have to get all this stuff done. I don't even know who's going to watch my kid. And he's like, please. And I was like, all right, fine. If it's really that serious, then at least I get the whole day, the next day off, right? Because then nobody else has to come by. Okay, it's a good trade-off of time. Leave work early, scramble to get a babysitter, got somebody to watch the kid, clean up little stuff on the car, print out the right forms that we need, the whole nine yards, get everything done. 1:30 shows up, nothing. 2:00, I text him, hey, you said 1:30, right? You're still coming? Nothing. Still nothing. 2:30, 3:00. I'm pissed. I call him. No, nobody answers. Keep waiting. 6:30, I get a phone call from the guy.
6:30.
And I pick it up. And it could have been something like, hey, I'm really sorry. I got stuck at work. I can't use my cell phone there. I was expecting something like that. What I got instead was he was like, oh, yeah, well, I'm buying it for my son. And so I wanted to make sure he liked it. And so I was going to have him call me back and just double check first. And I was like, well, why didn't you do that before you demanded that I make this appointment for you at 1:30? And I was livid because he seemed to have no shame whatsoever. And he's like, but yeah, I'll come by tomorrow. What time is free?
Also, before you continue... What kind of little shit are you raising where you gotta make sure he's okay with the free car you're getting him?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You don't like it?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, what time tomorrow? And I was so mad. And it was something that I wish I had done so many times before when I got screwed over by Craigslist people. And I finally did it, which is I let, no, you're not coming tomorrow. You're not buying this car. And he's like, excuse me? And I was like, I'm not selling this car to a liar. You are a liar. Your son is probably a liar. You're dishonorable people. I don't care if you offer me $1,000 over my asking price. You and your shitty son aren't getting this car. And he was dumbstruck. He went, excuse me? Like, I don't, what time tomorrow? Excuse me? I was like, no time tomorrow. No time ever. No Mini Cooper for you. I hung up. And I felt... so good. It was the most satisfying thing I've ever had. And now I almost want to do a vigilante justice thing where I put ads up for stuff on Craigslist, wait for people to flake out on them, and chew them out with something their parents should have told them years ago.
I can see Bobby taking it so far where he texts a guy a video of him putting a brick on the accelerator and then coast over. I rather would do that than you have that car.
It felt...
go
so
get it out of the quarry if you want it so bad.
It felt so good. And I ask everybody who's out there, because you'll run into this at some point. And there's this part of you that goes, fuck, I really need to sell this car. I don't want to alienate this person. I just say, fuck it. That guy's not buying. If he was, he would have showed up on time in the first place.
Yeah.
If this happens, if
fool me twice, you know?
Yeah. If we as a society start doing this more often, we can eliminate this. This did not used to be how business was conducted, even on Craigslist. It used to be honor among thieves.
Yeah.
And now it has become this because we've allowed these people to escape. I'm actually thinking that I want, because he called me, obviously, so I have a cell phone. I want to start calling him like every other day and just being like, hey, hey, you're still not getting the fucking car.
No, start calling his son. Still walking to school? How's your bike, loser?
Your dad is a shameful excuse of a man, and he's a fucking liar with no honor.
Also, who drives a Mini Cooper? I thought you were a boy.
That's a supercharged one. It's great. Fantastic. It actually looks pretty good.
Tell yourself that. By the way, for those of you that may have saw that we had some trouble posting the last episode, Podomatic is fucking garbage.
Oh, my God.
We're leaving that service. Let me just say one thing. It fucking infuriates me when you're trying to give a business money and they're not accepting it because they'd rather you just languish in the problems they are giving you and instead.
You mean like when a guy is trying to give you money for a Mini Cooper?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Podomatic called us up. No podcast for you. Dude, first of all, let me just say this. I started doing science faction years and years ago. I started with Podbean, which is a different hosting service, and I love them. They've got great stats, whole nine yards. I took over Degenerates from somebody else who had started with Podomatic, and at that point in time, the technology did not exist for you to kind of take all your back episodes and move them over. So we had a choice. Okay, do we switch over to this other thing that I prefer and lose all our back episodes or keep going the way we are? And at the time, it made much more sense to just keep going the way we were. So we kept going with Podomatic. Their company is horrible. So their service is fucking dog shit. Their user interface is horrible. Their stats are a joke. They charge way too much money, which we didn't find out until recently, just way too much money. We had to continually delete old episodes in order to post new episodes because they give you such limited bandwidth.
So for those of you that, because a few of you have written me personally and been like, hey, I'm trying to binge listen and I can't get past this one episode here. Yeah. Like episode number, I don't know, like 98, and I can't go past it. I'm like, it's because this service fucking sucks. Yeah. We have to delete them off.
And so this has been a huge ongoing problem, and it finally came to a head this week when I went to go put it on. I went to go put our thing on, and it's like, yeah, you don't have enough storage. And so I called up Ryan. I was like, yeah, we got to upgrade our account to a different type. Let's do this. Ryan paid them to try and do this.
$220, I believe.
And it didn't show up. So I start talking to their customer service, which is like a little text box on their website.
No number.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's
no.
The best.
Well, a lot of places do it well. For instance, Podbean. I have a bunch of things with Podbean where I'll be like, hey, I want to know how to... In fact, I went up to Podbean when I was like, I think I want to switch over. How do I switch over? And right away, the guy was like, here's how you do it. Here's a link. Here's what you need to do.
Well, that's sales. Yeah, that's a little bit.
Well, I talked to this guy. This guy should be sales, too. I was like, hey, we just upgraded, and our account doesn't reflect it, and Tuesday's our posting day, and we can't post right now, so can you please let me go? And I get this little message. We will be back to you within 24 hours.
No, I got 48.
Oh, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about 24 hours?
And meanwhile, I must be driving you insane because I'm venting all my frustration to Bobby over text. I'm like, now they're saying 48 hours. I just paid them $224 and they're like, yeah, and it's gone. So,
because they double billed you. They fucked that up.
Yeah.
Then they don't reflect it on our account. I'm going back and forth with their incompetent ass customer service people who are fixing nothing, even though I'm sending them, Ryan sends me texts of the receipt and stuff. I'm sending them all this stuff. They can't do anything about it. I finally talked to Podbean. I'm like, can I move this over? They're like, yeah, go ahead. Here, you just need one of our unlimited accounts. And I was like, oh, that might be expensive. I look, their unlimited account is actually the exact same price that we were paying for our very limited account on Podomatic.
Oh, really?
Our much shittier limited account we were playing on Podomatic. And I was like, holy shit, this is going to be awesome. And I get everything ready. I'm like, just out of curiosity, I wonder how much it would take to get an unlimited account on Podomatic. So I went to go check. They don't offer unlimited anything. They still have limits, but they will let you go to a higher limit at like $21 per month or something. More than double the cost of our completely unlimited account on a much better platform. This is what pisses me off. They charge twice as much for a shittier service with limitation.
I can see this story going to the point where like Bobby, with his vigilante justice streak, his technical know-how, and his motivation, I could see the story going where Bobby starts his own podcast company.
Yeah.
Like hosts other podcasts just out of spite.
Yeah.
And it takes off, becomes this billion-dollar business, but he just made it just to fuck with this one.
And then he dresses up as the Joker and lights a big money pile on fire. I didn't even do it for that. I'm only burning my half.
Some men just like to watch the world burn. It was so infuriating. We finally switched. So, guys, we have switched over to Podbean. It is much, much better. Go ahead and check us out there. You'll see we're still working on some of the visual aspects of our new site, but everything is looking pretty good, and you're going to see a much better user response. We'll be able to put much more content up, because now we can literally put as much content as we want. We can keep all of our old episodes that we currently have. Everything is going to be much, much better. We've stepped up our game. And as a side note, if you are considering podcasting, please, please, please look into Podbean, or at least avoid the shit out of Podomatic.
Yes. I would rather you just avoid Podomatic. I don't care who you go to. Yeah. And I had a similar situation where I'm trying to give a company money because it's my birthday. I'm having a birthday party.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Tonight. And, my wife got me a kegerator for my birthday.
Yeah.
What a great gift.
Right.
So, obviously, I want a keg for my birthday party to go with my new kegerator. So, I decide on the keg I want. I want a keg of Carl Strauss Original Amber.
That's great beer.
Shit's great. It's local. Uh-huh. So, you know, I'm in my buddy who used to work for Carl Strauss back in college, he goes, get it right from the brewery, man. Cut out the middleman with the liquor store. Oh, yeah. You know, you're going to save, you know, at least 25%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And so I call Carl Strauss. And I'm
the guy at home? You're like, hey, Carl.
No, him, I just threw a brick through the window with my fucking order on it. Have this at my house by 6, Carl. So anyways, I call him up, and I'll save you a lot of time. It was a continuous amount of, oh, you want to order a keg? Let me get you to this number. Beep, 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 beep. Fuck, I call another number. Oh, no, it's in sales. I don't know who you talked to about that. I literally was on the phone all day with their different locations around San Diego. I'm like, I just want a keg of beer. You are a brewery. I want your most basic keg of beer. They're like, oh, I don't know how to help you on that. So, like, and the thing is, what's weird is, like, all other companies, like, customer service is who you can't get through to.
Right.
If you say, like, I need to speak to customer service, then that's when you get the, well, send us a text and someone will call you maybe the next week or so.
Yeah.
But then you say, can I speak to your sales? But this is sales. Yeah. Hello? Yeah, see, you're talking to sales. Go for sales. So, like, it was so foreign to me that I couldn't get in touch with anyone in sales. And the worst part about it is, they got me by the balls where I still am putting up with this.
Right.
It was so cocky of a company that you're trying to buy their services, and they're like, we're so successful, we can even fuck with you when you're trying to help us out. You're not going to cost us anybody.
But also, they seemed a little bit like, when you were talking to people on the phone, they seemed a little confused enough that I feel like we could have gotten like a few, what do you call it, mechanics jackets with our name.
We
could have showed up at the warehouse with like a handful of blank paper. Like, hey, we have a receipt. We never got this keg. Shit, let me get that for you. And we could have got a free keg, just towed it out.
I think with a little bit more confidence, again, deliver uniforms. Yeah, picking up those 4 kegs not say anything.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we know where it's at.
Oh, this is going to be great. Let's try this.
Yeah, for a man that likes vigilante justice, you like to steal a bunch too.
No.
He likes the vigilante.
That would be unethical if they had provided a route by which you could purchase kegs. If not, you are just procuring their product in the only way possible.
I'm going to convince Carl Strauss to start a podcast on Podomatic. That'll fucking show them.
Let them fight with each other.
All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos.
How dare you flirt with somebody while I'm fucking that guy. Yeah, time passing by. Oh, time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.